like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. We thank you all of those that wrote to us from the broadcast. We appreciate the encouragement that you've given unto us, and we just thank God for each and every one of you. We pray that God will richly bless you and keep you and meet all your needs and help you to rise above all of your adversaries, and you would have the blessings of God rest in your life. Those that are seeking after jobs and health and strength, we ask that God would help you as he has many times before kept his people from various different causes. And we just pray that God will bless you, my friend, and keep you in his sheltering arms and protect you from the things that are around and about the world today and the devil is trying to bring upon God's people. We pray that God will reach out by his Spirit and his grace and touch you and help you that you may rise above all these things and be protected by the right arm of God in salvation. Give him the praise and the honor, my friend. Look unto him. Read your word and find out what is and what not to do, and we will all be able to reap the blessings of God if we will be obedient to his commandments and keeping with him and his statutes. A lot of people is going against the law. The law was righteous in its ways, but the commandment still is there in force, the Ten Commandments, and we have all broke them most likely, and many have come short of the glory of God according to the Word of God. But my friends, seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek after him with your whole heart, and there he'll be found. Denying the things of the world and looking unto him for salvation is our only hope, is in him. For the world is teeter-tottering on the destruction, and you got to realize our only hope is in Christ Jesus. He will avenge all that unrighteousness and bring together them that would worship him in spirit and in truth, and he will gather us all together. As he gathered Israel from across the lands and from one nation to the other, as he promised, he will one day gather his people, including the Israel and the Gentiles. His church, in other words, as Isaiah speaks about, his church is going to be gathered together unto him and received of him. But he said to come out from among the world and be you therefore separated, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So look to him. Not to any individual man of whatever, but I know there's a lot of good preachers out there that would preach the truth and stand forth on it. There's a lot of false teachers out there, too, that are teaching you one thing which God does not require of you. And look unto the Lord Jesus Christ and read the Word of God, and you'll know then what is and what is not to be done for the glory of God and for the salvation of your soul. So pray and seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart and leave aside all these old wise fables and tales and these here things that traditions of man's things and all in keeping with holy days and one thing or another as they do separate Christmas and Easter and various different things in the way they do. It's paganism, my friend. So call on the Lord Jesus Christ with your whole heart and by your spirit, and he will deliver you there. And pray for one for another. As we pray for you, you pray for us, that may God lead and direct and alter our steps, that we would follow after him as a deer pants after water. My friend, we need to hold fast to that which we have learned, which we have heard, and which we have seen, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God himself came and died for you and I. And we cannot shun the fact that this kingdom of God is hid in our hearts by the Holy Ghost and revealed unto us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So pray and seek after the kingdom of God and ask him for understanding and help you to guide you and lead you in the way of righteousness. He'll do it. He has me and brought me to things that separated me from many things that I used to have. It was tradition, and I thought it was right, but he brought me forth from these things and separated me We need to separate ourselves from the things of the world and cleave unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's our only hope. So as we pray one for another, may God bless you. And my wife's got something other here. So here's Sister Sarah here to put what the Lord's laid on her heart there. God bless you.
Well, praise the Lord. Jesus came to save sinners, as Paul said, he was the chiefest. Many of them, you know, people have self-righteous. They think they've got it all made and everything. But Jesus came to save sinners, and Paul said he was one of them. And before you come to Christ, you are one of them too. The only possible way in which the sinner's death, spiritually speaking, can be avoided is for the sinner himself to turn from his evil ways and live. That is what the church is praying for, and we are praying for you today. We want to see sinners turn from their evil ways and live. Someone may say, well, I want to hold on until onto my evil days, but I want to be saved at the same time. There's no way you can. And you've heard people say, well, I've got too much I'm doing now. I'll just wait till another day. But you know what? You don't have another day in some cases. You don't even have your next heartbeat. If you want to hold on to your evil ways, but you want to be saved later, today is the day of salvation. It does not work that way. You have to turn from your evil ways. The Bible said, if the wicked will forsake his ways, God will have mercy. He will pardon and he will forgive every sin. You can read in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am a chief. You cannot blame Jesus because he came to save sinners. Everybody was once a sinner. We were born into sin and shaped in iniquity. You may still be one, and if you are, Jesus came to save you. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And I thank God for that. God has more abundant life for everyone. You may say, oh, you do not know what a good time I'm having. Regardless of what a good time you're having, God has more abundant life for you. He will give you life more abundantly. If you've never been a real Christian, you cannot make that judgment. I can make that judgment because I was once a sinner, but Jesus saved me. I know what it's like to live a life of sin, and now I know what it's like to live the Christian life. This life is more of abundant life. John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You cannot blame Jesus if you end up at the judgment unprepared to meet God. He said, all come to him. He will in no wise cast you out. Christ does not cast away a sinner who will come to him and meet the conditions of salvation. If you die lost, you cannot blame the Holy Ghost. You cannot blame anyone. I waited, you know, a few years before I really, really got saved. Raised in a Christian home, but, you know, you want to do your own thing. But had I died during that period, even if I had been raised in a Christian home and I had not fully repented, I would have gone to hell. I would have not had anybody to blame but myself, because the Holy Ghost of God had been faithful to me. The Holy Ghost of God has been faithful to you as well. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Spirit still says, come. Those people in Stephen's days could not blame the Holy Ghost, because Stephen had given them a Holy Ghost message. He taught them in Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised, in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Have you been born again? Friends, you cannot blame circumstances, no matter what kind of circumstances you might be faced with. Your circumstances will not excuse you on the day of judgment. You cannot blame a family member, a hypocrite, or a church problem. You will not be able to stand before God and bring any excuses that you are going to get into His glory, because you have no excuse if you do not know Jesus Christ the Savior. If you want to come to Christ, nothing can keep you from coming to Him. If you really want to be saved, nobody can keep you from being saved. If you want to live the Christian life, you can live the Christian life. Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be not ours to behold. There's so much violence going on in the world, and we never know that today may be our last day. Repent of your evil doings, and Jesus Christ will save you. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Amen. There's only one way that we can make it into the kingdom of God, and that's through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My friend, it's come to the time that the world is reaping what it sowed. We know that how that chaos is happening all around the world, and we know that the only hope that we have is in Christ Jesus. You can't escape this world, and you will not escape the pits of hell if you do not repent. We've got to understand that our hope in Jesus is our only hope that we have of eternal life, because in Him is life and He give life. He holds all of our lives in the palm of His hand. The enemy cannot destroy you except you allow him to do so. My friend, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. We haven't got the promise of tomorrow, and I haven't, you haven't, but we have got a promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus. If we will repent of our sins, He has promised to give us life eternal. But the only way we can enter into that life eternal with Him in peace is to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, calling upon the name of the Lord. As many people have went today and said, yes, we are Christians and everything. But I could say I was a president of the United States, God forbid, but nevertheless, that wouldn't make me president. As a lot of them that said, yes, I'm a Christian, but yet they walk in the ways of the world so often and everything, it's hard to discern where they stop being a sinner and where they become a Christian, you might say, because they still go by the rudiments of this world, following hard after the teachings of fables and wise tales, and looking unto the separating themselves for this or that, but holding on to the things of the world, which is idolatry. The idolatry came along, and a lot of these old wise tales and fables of the way they worship in keeping with holy days is just paganism, my friend. There's no scripture that bears record of the day that Jesus was born, but yet they celebrated on the 25th day of December, which was impossible, and they celebrate Easter as it is with something or other, eggs and all these things, and there was no scripture to back it up, but yet and still they did. So it's time that we got to understand when Isaiah took in his hand there, anointed of God to bring forth the message unto the church, when Isaiah 52, he says, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall not more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust of the arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, and loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughters of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourself for dough, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt, and so they journeyed there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people are taken away for naught, and that they ruled over them, make them howl, saith the Lord, in my name continually, every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name, therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doeth speak. Behold, it is I. Now, if we look on down a little bit further on there at the 11th verse of the 52 of Isaiah, he said, depart, depart ye, go ye not out hence, and touch not the unclean thing. Go you out from the midst of her, be ye clean, that you bear the vessels of the Lord. For he shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord God will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently; he shall be exalted and exhort, and even high. As many as were astonished at thee, his vesture was marred more than any man, and his sons of man. My friend, he goes on and he says, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which have not been told them, they shall see, and that which they have not heard, they shall consider. My friends, when Jesus came into this world, God manifested in the flesh. He came and brought forth the salvation to all nations. It's not just the Jews anymore that he chose from days of old that they should be an example unto other nations. They failed, and naturally they were broken off. But God has not cast Israel aside. He hasn't forgotten. He knew exactly where they were at all time. Many people says at the lost tribes of the house of Israel, they were never lost. God scattered them across the world and in any of our nations and everything. But he made mention about he would gather them out of all nations of which he had scattered them there. And my friend, when Ezekiel prophesied there in the valley of the dry bones, and they stood up, and it was the whole house of Israel, God will bring them forth. And he spoke about bringing them out of their grave, but worrying that they had scattered them throughout the world. My friend, he has done that, and we know that in 48 that they come to be a nation again, and we know that God is dealing with Israel, and yet they have still got to be chastised a little bit more. But God has a plan, and his plan is going to be fulfilled whether you or I want to like it or not. I pray for Israel. They've been a people that has been mistreated by every nation in the world. They've been blasphemed against and called all kinds of things. But God has kept them together, and he will bring them together as he has done when he brought them forth to be a nation. He said he would bring them out of all the nations of wherein did he scatter them, bring them back into the homeland wherein that he had gave to their forefathers, and he's brought them back. Still they're suffering persecution for the simple fact that it yet they've got to be cleansed. But the time of the Gentiles is coming close to being fulfilled, my friend. And it's time that we got to understand that if we have not been born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb, received of his Spirit, he says, we're none of his. Without my Spirit, you're none of mine. We've got to understand that the God of glory, the God of creation, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came into this world as a man to die for yours and my miserable sins. Paul met him on the road of Damascus. I met him at an old-fashioned altar. I prayed unto him, and he saved me. My friend, we're going to have to repent. It's just plain and simple. You cannot have two masters. You're going to have to love one and hate the other, or you cleave to one and despise the other. My friend, the only true master we need is Jesus Christ and him there that has purchased yours and my salvation there with his own blood. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. We got to understand that God, being a spirit, the Father in the spirit, could not be nailed to a cross. But he came in the flesh when he said, There in Timothy 3 and 16, he said, great is the mystery of godliness, for without controversy. Means you and I don't have no more to say about it. We just accept what the Word of God said, that God was manifested in the flesh, and he came unto this world. My friend, he came in the flesh in order to die for you and I, that we could have the remission of our sins and be redeemed from our sin. Without that, we had no hope. We were a people that was lost under a curse of death without any hope until Jesus came. And when they hung him on the cross, in that hours that he was there, the darkness came and God turned his face away from the earth. And he didn't look upon the sacrifices being made until the blood of Jesus Christ had covered him there. And he looked back and he didn't see our sins that Jesus himself had took upon him and nailing them to the cross. But he seen the blood of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He brought forth their salvation, not only to the Jew, but also to the Greek and to all them that will call upon his name. When the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, it exposed the holiest of holies, where at one time the only high priest could go in to there and put the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb on the mercy seat of God. He rolled back the sins for a year, but every year they have to do it. Now, when the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world came into this world and died for yours and my sin, he shed his blood, was sufficient enough to cover us all from here to eternity if we will accept it. But many today is not accepting it, but simple fact, they don't believe what the scripture says. It's their fault. It's nobody else's. Can't be blamed for nobody, because there's many preachers that preach this same message throughout, around, and about. And as it goes through the world and people are rejecting it, they reject the salvation of God. Then, as the scribes and the Pharisees did, when he told them there, he said, when they asked him, he said, when the Messiah comes, he will teach us all things in truth and all. He said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Except you will believe in the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth, in the man called Jesus, God's only begotten Son, that sacrificed himself there, that God paid your penalty for your sins, blotting out the handwriting on the wall and bringing forth salvation only through Jesus Christ. My friend, you can't go there no other way. You need to be separated from the things. When he told him, Mary, he said, to come out from among them, be therefore separated, and he would receive them. There was a lot of things that they had done, a lot of things the people of the world today is doing. They won't heed to the call that God has put out. They want to hold on to the world with one hand and go to Jesus with the other. Honey, you can't make it. It's just absolutely impossible. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot walk in the ways of sin and stand in the middle of the road, in other words, in one side on one side and the other side of righteousness. It don't work that way. You got to be committed unto God, whole soul, mind, and body. Accept him as your Savior. You cannot dabble in sin and expect God to just look over it. He once winked at ignorance, but now he calls every man everywhere to repent. My friend, it's come to the time that we got to understand and wake up to the reality of the Word of God and read and study and show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth. The church is in trouble today because instead of going into the world and preaching the gospel, they brought the world into it and letting it overtake them. My friend, it shouldn't be that way. There's denominations and denominations. There's this and there's that. And a house divided can't stand. But the Spirit speaks to us especially about that the Holy Ghost would, until we all come to the knowledge of the same thing, the same preaching, the same gospel, and brought together in the same spirit, we're going to be divided. Hey, this nation of most all of them, the nations are divided. They got here in the United States, you got the Democrats and the Republicans. Bible says that a house divided can't stand. It's got to stand for one thing and one thing only. I would encourage you to stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Looking unto that, there's only one gospel, and that's what Jesus taught the apostles. It's what he taught them, the apostolic teachings and the apostle doctrine. Anything else comes short because it came out of Catholicism And many of the people today will reach after that before they'll reach after Christ Jesus. Or they pray to the Holy Father, and there's no holy man on the face of this earth in flesh that's holy enough to receive such honor. My friend, the only holy God there was came and died for you and me and your sins as well as mine. And he ascended back into the heavens from which he came and setteth on the right hand of the magistrate on high and on the power of the Most High God. My friend, it's Jesus Christ is our only hope. You got to repent. You got to receive the atoning price that he paid and embrace him with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. You can't have it both ways. A lot of people wants to have it both ways. They want the good times and the things of the world, but yet they want to believe that Jesus and God is so great that he ain't going to throw nobody into hell. My friend, you're wrong in that way of thinking. He's not going to have the sinner, the ungodly, is not going to inherit eternal life in the peace and in the new kingdom of God. It's not going to be that way. If you seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, there you can be found. But now, when you come to trying to hold on to the world on one hand, the world's going to be the one that's going to judge you. God's going to judge us all in the finalities of it. And he that his name is written in the Lamb's book of life will enter in. He that is not will be cast out. My friend, you can't get your name in the Lamb's book of life by dabbling around and holding on to the things of the world and doing all these traditions of holy days, they call it, and separating under the ways of these things, of Santa Claus and the Easter rabbit and all these kind of things. It's just no Bible to back it up. And the word of God is plainly clear on it. When the apostles went into the tomb and seen that he was resurrected, and he told Mary and him, go tell my apostles, go tell the disciples that I go before them to Galilee. They didn't go hunt eggs and everything, but they found him there in Galilee when he came before them there. My friend, get it right. God is not pleased with the way the church is going today, but he's waiting. He's pleading with them, come out from among the world and be you therefore separated. But when he appears, and if we haven't got it right, we're going to be lost into outer darkness. My friend, the only way we can do it, we're going to have to separate ourselves from these false teachings and false prophets and everything. A lot of pastors are scattering the flock. They're running them off, and then they are not repenting themselves, and they think that they got everything kosher. I'm afraid they're going to come up and be found wanted when they're weighed in the balance. My friend, because when it comes right down to it, Isaiah 52:11 said, depart, depart, ye go ye not out hence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out from the midst of her, be ye cleaned and bear the vessels of the Lord. My friend, that we've got to understand that we are a temple of the Holy Ghost. We don't need to be involved in these unclean things in this year of traditions of man's and fables and things of that that come out of false teachings and false prophets have brought forth and taught people that they abide by them rather than by the absolute word of God. You got to separate yourself from all these kind of things. You got to be cleansed from all these things and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He said, John 15:19, he said, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but as chosen out of the world, for the world therefore, the world hateth you. My friend, the world will not fall in love with you if you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior. I know, I've been there, and I'm sure you have too, many of you, at knowing that when you claim to be a Christian, and there are a lot of people that make fun of you. I have been, and no doubt you have too, been questioned about it and made fun of you and everything, and called it there's no such a thing as a God and all this here kind of stuff and made fun of. They did in the prophets of old and the apostles. They're going to do the same thing to you. They hated them back then without a cause, and they'll do the same thing to us today. And when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, as they say, when Jesus appears and the church is raptured out, them that are absolutely born again is taken away. And the way they go to searching and find out that you're not around, then they're going to mourn and they're going to cry and call, but it's going to be too late. Just as those did in the days of Noah. They had Noah worked on the ark there for 120 years, telling them that the flood was coming. We've been preaching this gospel for quite some time, telling them about one day the Lord's going to come. He hadn't come yet, but he will. The flood it never rained from the heavens before. It always would water through the elements of the earth. But when Noah finished the ark and God told him, he said, Noah, come into the ark. That door stayed open for 7 days of opportunity, but nobody walked in. But they mocked and they scorned and everything, made fun of Moses being shut up in the ark or being in the ark. They probably said, Noah, where you going to float your boat? There ain't no creek around here big enough for it, or this or that, or one thing or another. But my friend, there's going to come a time when them that rejected the mercy of God in the blood of Jesus Christ is going to howl and groan and cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. My friend, today when that door was shut by God himself and the thunder roared and the lightning flashed and the rain began to fall, there was a prayer meeting going on, but the Bible said it was too late. They were all carried away in the flood. So it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And all the cities was destroyed by fire from falling from God out of the heavens to destroy them all. Only really three got out. Lot and his three daughters. His wife turned and looked back. And that's the way it is with the world today. He that looketh back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. His wife turned to a pillar of salt. She didn't make it, my friend. So don't look back into the things of the world and desire the things of the world and the things that are in the world. But look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Press on toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. Receive him as your personal Savior. Hearken unto him and his word. Believe what the word says. Read it constantly and know that he is, was, and always will be the true and the living God. He created it all by Jesus Christ. He sent his only begotten Son into this world to die because he himself, the Father, in being a spirit, could not shed blood, but he prepared himself a body. He came into this world, and we know that how Jesus told that bunch of Pharisees and them. He said, you destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. It took them 47 years to build the temple, but they was thinking about carnal. Jesus was speaking about the flesh that God dwelt in there. He said, destroy it, I'll raise it up. And they mocked him and made fun of him. One day, this old temple that it abides in may go down in the dust of the earth. But when the sound of the trumpet and the call of the angels go forth, and that which is dead in Christ shall rise first, and from corruption to incorruption, and they that remain to be alive shall be changed and caught up with the Lord from mortal to immortality. My friend, we will be in the presence of God continually from then on. Oh, but this, it's going to have to be some separation come from somewhere or another. We can't hold on to the world and live as the world does and think that we're going to make it into the kingdom of God. It just ain't going to happen that way. In Acts 2 and 40, he said, and with many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Ephesians 5 and 11, he said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Honey, I've went against a lot of these fables and teachings about Santa Claus and the Christmas trees and the Easter rabbits and eggs and everything, and was kind of partially in one way or another. If you don't do it our way, we don't need you. In other words, you don't believe what I say and agree with everything I say or do, you go somewhere else. Another policeman said, "You're wrong, you're wrong." I looked it up in Wikipedia and said that they'd done the egg things back in the early church. Well, they may have, my friend, but I don't go by Wikipedia. I go by the Word of God. And there's no scripture to back up that they hunted eggs or that the rabbits or anything. It's all paganism. There was no such thing as Santa Claus and them, but they come up and made it other fables there. My friend, it's come time we need to come out from among the world and be separated from these old wise tales and fables, or you're going to wind up in the short end of the road. You're going to wind up without God in your life, and the only way you can have him is to repent. Repent and receive the sacrifice, that blood that Jesus shed for the remission of your sins and mine likewise, and we need to understand that as our only hope. It's not in the world. This old world is going to pass away, as Peter made mention about, that it will pass away with a loud racket and a fervent heat. My friends, of what's going to be left of it? This old world is going to be dissolved. It's going to fade away. It's going to be broke apart. It's going to burn up. But he said that John seen a new heaven and a new earth, or a new Jerusalem coming down. And God said, "Behold, I make all things anew." He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All the old things will be done away with. There'll be no remembrance of them that make it into the kingdom of the things that are going on around in the world today. There'll be absolutely diminished from their minds of thought. Because if they think about them that are lost and without them, that there would be sorrow. But he said he'd wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'd be no sorrow there. Be no pain, no more aches and hurts of little arthritis and things. It'll all be done away with. There'll be no dying. My friend, that's a kind of place that I want to be in. That's the kind of place that I'm hoping that you will desire to have in your heart and repent if you haven't. I believe that God has sent forth his messengers. He sent Jesus Christ as a messenger and the apostles from days of old. He sent them all the time talking about it. They were rising up early and staying up late and preaching forth this gospel. Paul was a man that knew the law, but he knew nothing about the grace. But God met him one day on the road to Damascus, and he taught him. A lot of preachers are going to these schools and paying out thousands of dollars for some man to teach them. My friend, all we need to be led by the Spirit, to let God teach us what needs to be done. He wrote the word there by his Spirit, as the prophets of old was moved by the Spirit of God to write unto us the letters that we need to go by. Paul was a chosen vessel of God on the road to Damascus, and he said that he would set him forth and send him to Rome. He was the apostle that was chosen to bring this gospel to the Gentiles. He had to go after Peter had opened the door, but Paul was chosen there, and he brought this gospel. He preached unto the church of the Gentiles. My friend, we got to understand, God has not left nobody out of his plan of salvation. But many choose to walk in their own ways of sin and ungodly, and walk in their own ways of lust and everything. So God had said that he would turn them over to a reprobate mind, that they would believe a lie and be damned. My friend, it's come to the time you got to believe the truth of God's word, accept the atoning price that God paid by the giving of his only begotten Son, his blood, his life, that he gave for yours and my salvation. He didn't have to, but he did, because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved you enough to die for you. Can't you love him enough to live for him, that you can live eternally? I hope so. My friend, it's come to the time that we're in, we need to realize that God can do without us. But he is like oxygen. Can you walk and breathe and have without the air to breathe? I can't. You can live without God, but you'll die without him, and it's not going to be pleasant. But my friend, you can't live without oxygen. You'll die. You just suffocate. And I feel the same way about it. I need my God. I need Jesus to walk with me every day, every moment of my life. I need him. He can do without me, but I can't make it without him. I hope you feel the same way, because it's impossible that you can go and please two masters. You can't just do it. You need to cleave to one or hate the other one. My friend, I would suggest you hate the world and the rudiments thereof that the devil has brought into this world to deceive people and bring them into destruction, because he knows that his future is to be cast into hell, and he wants as many there, but you ain't going to enjoy it. If you go there, you won't enjoy it, and he ain't going to enjoy it either, because he's going to be in the lake of fire with them. All the false prophets and teachers is going to be there. All them that know not God is going to be there. All of them that is not the name is not written on the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into hell along with the false prophets and all them. And that's the second death. My friend, it's come time that we got to realize. Ephesians 5 and 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Thessalonians 6 and 3. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the rudiments which you have received of us. You received the gospel of Jesus Christ from the apostles, and they brought it forth as Jesus had taught them. My friends, and if you're going by another gospel, by these people that's come along and said they had a greater revelation than any of the peers they're speaking about, that they know more than what the apostles did, even to more than anybody else. But it's a lie out of hell, and the devil has brought them forth, and many people follow after them. But it's going to be a destruction to them, because there has not been no revelation given above that which God gave his apostles. He gave Paul the revelation of grace to the Gentile church. He gave John the Revelator the revelation of the things that's to come upon this earth in these last days, and that's being fulfilled. And there's anybody that stands and says they got a greater revelation than any of them, he's a liar and the truth ain't in him. He's a Satan-filled thing, and he needs to be left alone into his own desire. Come out from among it and be you separated, saith the Lord, and he will receive you. You cannot serve two masters. You can't hold on to one and cleave to the other. It's just impossible. You can't walk in the middle of the road or straddle the fence, so they say. Oh, my friend, I'm telling you, you cannot straddle the road, that line down the middle of the highway. Sooner or later, something's going to catch up with you. If you straddle that line, there's been a many people tried to, and they didn't make it because somebody coming on the other side will take them out. I mean, you got to be on one side or the other. I would recommend you choose the right side. Choose Jesus Christ as your Savior. Serve him and serve him with your whole heart, seeking after the kingdom of God and allowing him to come into your life and lead and direct you. Alter your steps that they walk. Because he said the steps of a good man is altered of God. We need to let God guide and lead us into the way of righteousness. Don't take my word for it. Read your Bible, as I encourage you often. Read the Word of God. Find out. Let God, by his Spirit, draw you into his domains, into his kingdom by his Spirit. Without the Spirit of God draweth you, you're not going to enter in anyway. I couldn't go in until the Spirit of God drawed me. I was a man that loved to do the things of the world. I'd never done a lot of things that some people are doing, but nevertheless, I was still a sinner. I was lost without any hope in Christ Jesus until I come to the knowledge of the saving grace of God. I was taught about it, but oftentimes I walked not in it. But when God seen mercy on me, he brought me to the place to wherein that I had to either accept him or be otherwise not doing too much for the world either, because of the things that had happened in my life. I come to the place of wherein that I said, Lord, if it's your will, that if in a wheelchair I give you more praise and glory, so be it. But I'd rather do it on my feet. And he healed me, brought me forth after doctors had said I'd be paralyzed, never work anymore. And I was a young man, but God lifted me up and healed me. And I thank God for it today, that he had mercy on me and heard my cry, as he did many of them there in this book of Psalms when David was crying. He heard his cry And he cried out to the Lord to save him, and he did. He did me too. He will you too if you haven't been. My friend, it takes time that sometimes God will say yes, and sometimes he said wait, and sometimes he'll say no. But my friend, he knows what's best for all of us. At the right moment, when that Spirit deals with you, that's when you need to come to the Lord and bow down before him and accept his saving grace and offer up to him as your body as a living sacrifice, calling upon the name of the Lord. We need to understand, my friend, this world is not going to stand forever. You and I are not going to live forever in this old flesh. It's going to lay down one day, and it's going to be put in the grave or whichever way you choose to go. But it's going to come to an end. But the life that hereafter is where it really counts at. You're either going to spend it in the domains of hell, or you're going to spend it into the kingdom of God. I would say choose God and live for eternity in the peace and tranquility that God has to offer to us, the promise of eternal life, and wherein that we can have that blessings of hope in Christ Jesus, that we can enter into his kingdom and receive of the blessings of life eternally with him. Peace and tranquility. You got no peace in this world. They're crying out for peace, and they're trying to bring. But Jesus told him, he said, you think I come to bring peace? I brought a sword. And the world is full of corruption today, my friend. Do you want to continue to walk in this here kind of way for eternity? I don't myself, but I realize that one day it's all going to come to an end. God's going to get tired of it, and I'm afraid that he's getting there, but he's waiting upon the precious fruit, the last one to come in. My friends are coming about that they are talking about Israel over there destroying it, but it ain't going to happen. God's going to preserve Israel. He's going to fight for as he did as the days of old. Oh, my God, he's going to come forth out of the kingdom of God, and he's going to come forth with his saints, and he's going to destroy all of this political stuff that we got going on in the world that's corrupting and making things so hard for people to live, and trying to make laws against God's laws and saying you don't worship God, don't call upon the name of the Lord. They done it back in the apostles' days, but forbid them to preach and teach in that name of Jesus. The world's doing that today, my friend. So what are you going to do? You going to serve the world in the manner, or are you going to serve Jesus Christ? Even if you give your life as a testimony for him, you're not going to lose it. But if you try to save it by rejecting him and cleaving unto the world, you'll lose the life and also your soul. So which will it be? It's your choice. It's my choice. They're in a valley of decisions. Choose to serve the Lord God of glory. Choose you this day to whom you shall serve. As Joshua told them when they begin to go over the River Jordan over into Egypt, the Canaan land, he told them there, he said, choose you this day to whom you will serve. You're going to serve the gods on the other side of the river, or you're going to serve the God over here. For me and my household, we will serve the Lord. My friend, it's a choice. It's yours. I can't choose it for you. As I've told my children, I can't take you to glory in my coat pocket. One thing, it's not big enough. Another thing, it's impossible. But they got to make the choice, as I have. They've got to choose for themselves to serve the Lord with their heart, soul, mind, and body. I can't choose it for them. If I could, they would all be serving the Lord. But the choice is theirs. My friend, just as it's yours, your family, you choose to serve the Lord. And if they choose to not to do it, you can't do it for them. It's a thing. It's a personal thing between God and man. You got to choose today whom you shall serve. You can serve the devil and his bunch and the world and all its glory. And as the devil told the Lord there when he was tempted to there, as he'd been tempted by the Satan there when he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, if you'll just bow down and worship, I'll give you all this. Jesus didn't tell him it wasn't his to give, because Adam had gave it to him. And he's the ruler of this world. He's the God of this world. But one day, the God of eternity, the one that created it all, and even him too, is going to step out and he's going to put an end to all of the devil's works, and he's going to bind that old boy and throw him into hell and seal him up, and he'll never no more come loose. My friend, he's out of the roaring lion seeking that he may devour. I hope he's not devouring on you. I hope you'll turn your heart over to the Lord. I hope that all that under the sound of my voice will turn today and seek after the Lord, and therefore then come before, and therefore seek after God and his righteousness and receive him as your personal Savior. And we know that you have your name written on the Lamb's Book of Life. You know whether it's there or not. My friend, it's come time that we need to answer to the call. God sent his word out. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. The only rest that we're going to have is when we go into the kingdom of God. It's going to come to the place to where, my friend, you're going to have to accept him or reject him. I pray that you will accept him. I pray that you will reach out to him. And he can reach down a lot further than you can reach up. He's reaching out every day, and he's calling. He's calling you right now. He's calling, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened. I'll give you rest. He's the only thing that we can have that we can assure us that to give us a rest and that bring forth eternal life, that we're in, that we won't suffer the damnation of hell. Otherwise, my friend, if you don't receive him, you're going to follow after the rudiments of this world, seeking after the joy and the pleasures of life, which the Bible says they become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Then that's seeming the way. I don't live too far from some of these here resorts around and about in Florida, and you can go and you can see them lined up instead of going to the place of worship and giving God praise. They lined up to go to these here ungodly places where they enjoy the pleasures of the flesh. My friend, it's come time that we're going to have to separate ourselves from the world and be separated there unto God, or he's not going to receive us. The final separation, he said in Matthew 13:30, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them and bundles, and to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. Now he's speaking about the tares of them claim to be, but are not. Them that are in the world and claiming to be something that they're not. They're tares. They look like they're trying to live the life, but they're not. God knows the ones that is and which ain't. But he's going to get them out. Let them grow together. But the time come when the separation comes, he's going to bring them together. But the wheat he speaketh, boy, them that have been born again and their names on the Lamb's Book of Life, gathered into his barn, into his kingdom, my friend. And then he said in Matthew 13:49, he said, so shall it be in the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from the among the just. Matthew 25:32, he says, and before him shall all gather all nations, and they shall separate them from one another as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Luke 16:26, and besides all this, betwixt us and you there are a great gulf fixed, so that no one can come neither pass you unto this. In other words, my friend, when the rich man cried out to Abraham, let Lazarus come and touch his tongue with water because he was tormented in the flames, he couldn't do it because there's a great gulf fixed. But now, when he said to come out from among the world, he says, when he said he would separate them as the sheep from the goats, he put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left, and he'll say unto them on his right hand, come into thy rest. Come in. In other words, welcome. But them on the left, he said, depart from me. My friend, it's come to the time that the decision is yours as it was with mine. I hope you'll decide to come to the Lord and humble before him and receive him and the price that he paid for your salvation and give him praise and honor. Repent and turn life over to him and let him be your God and to come out from among the world and all these here things that destroying people, even to some of the churches today is going along with the world more than with God. They bring forth all this here stuff into the world. The Bible said he told them to go into the world and preach the gospel. Instead, they've brought all the things of the world into the church. It's not right. But my friend, until next time, may God richly bless you. God keep you. And my prayers is out for thee that you will honor him and give him praise and glory before it's eternally too late. May God bless you and keep you as our prayers. Write to us if you will. May God bless and keep. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus. To get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, he didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.